Word of Life Church this morning, and how excited you are to see them. We are also thankful that you came, and we want to remind everyone, especially at the 10 o'clock service, that we have a Saturday night service at 5:30. And if you love praise and worship, that Saturday night service is a wonderful, wonderful service for you to go to, because we extend our praise and worship set longer than what we can do on Sunday mornings, because there is not a service that comes after that. So next Saturday, feel free to come to the Saturday night service at 5:30. The 10 o'clock is really the feeder for all the other services. It feeds people to 8:30. It feeds people to 11 o'clock. And now it feeds people over into the 5:30 service. And so if you want some more elbow room, as well as a longer praise and worship set, we encourage you to check out our 5:30 service on Saturday nights. It's going to be a great, great blessing to you. And maybe you just say, that service is more convenient for me anyway. Well, great. Either way, feel free to come to the Saturday night service at 5:30. Before we dive into the message this morning, we want to show you a missionary that we've just begun supporting. Every month, this ministry sends out money to lots of different ministries to help keep their missions running and updated. We do local missions here through the Life Poindexter, as well as a couple of other outreaches. But we also support world missions. And last year we went to India, me and a couple of other people from the church. And we went up to a place right on the border of India and China called Sikkim. And what a great name. That's how you pronounce it, Sikkim. So what a great place to live. But it is right on the border of India and China. It's actually kind of like a state of India. And you can kind of see what it's like up there. A beautiful, beautiful place. And the ministry that we're supporting there actually has a church on top of a house like that. And you have to walk down this little trail to get to the house. And it feels like you're obeying the commandment of Jesus about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. We went down there and preached and did a church service for them. They also do a Bible school. They also have a girls' home and a boys' home. And so just a couple of weeks ago, we sent them a big check, which we do a lot to our missionary friends, for $11,400 to help them travel this area, get around and strengthen some of the churches that have gone out of the Bible school, help them do a crusade. But we say all of this because every dollar that you give to this ministry is not just given to this ministry, but we give to ministries all over the world. A lot of them smaller, like this particular ministry, that depend heavily upon our support. And so I said all that, and we're not about to take up an offering. Instead, I say all of that because March was our greatest giving month ever in the history of this church. And I love that because, as you know, if you attend here, we don't do any big pull for tithes and offerings. If you want to worship the Lord with your giving, great. But we are here to help further your commitment to Christ, to His call on your life. And we want you to know that when you tithe and when you give, not only do you bless the Lord, not only do you get a blessing upon your life, not only do you bless the Lord's house here, but you bless the Lord's house in a lot of different places, because a portion of every dollar you give to this ministry goes to ministries like that. That's actually downtown Gangtok where we went. That's a place in Sikkim. That's me sitting on a bench where, I forget, where's Tommy? Tommy told me the reason why this bench was important. Oh, Ronard Bunkey. I don't know if you're familiar with Ronard Bunkey, but he actually has a picture of him, and that's Pastor Kevin there. But anyway, actually sitting on that bench, Ronard Bunkey's a great missionary, so that's why we took the picture on that bench. But anyway, we had a great time, and we are going to be diligent to introduce these missionaries to you. This missionary couple is actually going to come to the church in the month of August. I'll be able to introduce them, then you'll be able to meet them out there in the foyer, get to know them, and maybe some of you will feel led to connect with them and support them on a monthly basis. I want to encourage you this morning to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. If you're not familiar with where Genesis is, welcome to Christianity. We are glad you have joined us. The book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. On the screens, if you can pull up 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Message Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Message Bible. On the screens in our Bibles, we're going to Genesis chapter 2. I went to bed Sunday night after Easter Sunday, and of course, just like any pastor, you immediately start thinking about what am I going to talk about next Sunday? And so I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about that, so I pulled out my iPhone and started making some notes and thought I was going to preach a message off of fear and talking about how to deal with fear when it tries to creep into your life. And I woke up Monday morning, and this passage of text in 1 Peter chapter 3 was just strong in my heart. I mean, I just had it strong in my heart. And if you go to church here on a regular basis, then you're familiar with this text because a couple of weeks ago, we actually preached a little bit out of it. And ever since then, I just got the impression that there was another message there. That there was another message that was supposed to come out of 1 Peter chapter 3. And the more I meditated on it, the more I saw what I was supposed to talk about today. If I had just one big point to emphasize to you today, and how many of you know when you're preaching, it's always good to have a point. That's a good idea to have a point. And if I just had one big point to communicate to you today, it would be to everyone, but especially the ladies that are here today, to live a life that is beautiful before God. That God steps back and says, now that is beautiful. We live in a world that is very driven by beauty, I think. You know, you can pull up any number of magazines that showcase what people are wearing, or new hairstyles, or whatever it may be. We live in a world that's driven by that. I think every wife in here loves her husband telling her how beautiful she is. My wife looks beautiful today, as always. But every wife in here likes to hear that. Husbands, you should tell your wives how beautiful she looks. On a regular basis. Come on, ladies, help me out a little bit this morning. Right? Am I right? You want to hear that? Sure you do. Ladies want to hear how beautiful they are from their husbands. It's nice as a lady, I'm sure, when you walk into church or you walk into work and you had a new outfit on, that someone told you how beautiful you look. That matters and it makes you feel good. What I want you to see is not only do people notice natural beauty, but God notices spiritual beauty. And if I had a sub-point for my main point, which is live a life that is beautiful before God, my sub-point would be, as I think every lady in here knows that that would be beneficial to you. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that when we do things in secret before God, it leads to open rewards. That when we live a life in secret that is actually closer to God than in front of people, that we have times of devotion, times of prayer, times of praise and worship in secret, that God takes that commitment to Him in secret and rewards that openly. So I think everyone in here could say that if I lived a life beautiful before God, it would lead to a greater life for myself. I think we could all readily agree with that as Christians. But what Peter is about to show us in this text, especially for the ladies today, what Peter is about to show us in this text is that when you live a life that is beautiful before God, not only will it produce power in your life, but it actually has the power to go to work on the life of your husband. It actually has the power to go and work on behalf of your children. And that commitment that you have before the Lord, that beauty that you have spiritually before the Lord, actually has everything to do with that family walking out their commitment, not only to you, but to God and to the plan and purpose that He has for their lives. Your husband was built and designed by God to do something. Now, I don't know what that is, but God does. He wired him He designed him. He gave him gifts and talents to fulfill some type of purpose, some type of plan in the earth that will lead to not only the husband's kingdom growing, but the Lord's kingdom growing. And as a wife, you play an integral part as to whether or not he will ever reach his destiny. And how you live your life is going to impact his life, either for God and for good, or for other things and for bad. That's what Peter is diving into in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, when you get a certain scripture on your heart, it's good to look at different translations. And we're blessed in our society that you can get a Bible app, and with that Bible app, pull up 50 different translations of a passage of scripture. And so I immediately did this with 1 Peter chapter 3, pulled out different translations to see different glimpses of things. And out of all the ones I saw of this text, I think the Message Bible was my favorite. Let's read here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs." Amen. Let's read that again. "For you wives, be good wives to your husbands." Come on now. "Responsive to their needs." He says, "For their husbands, who, indifferent as they are to any words about God." I like that. There's some husbands who, they don't even want to hear about it. They don't want to hear your words about God. They don't want to hear, "Do this, don't do that." They don't want to hear all of this. And he says, there are some husbands like that. And this is why the Bible is so amazing, because this is thousands of years old. This text is thousands of years old, but here we are, and it's still relevant to us today. And he says, there are going to be some husbands who are indifferent to the things of God. They don't even want to hear about them, but will be captivated, I love this, by your life of holy beauty. Verse 3. "What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry that you wear, the cut of your clothes," verse 4, "but your inner disposition." So cultivate — that word cultivate means go to work — inner beauty. Go to work on inner beauty, the gentle and gracious kind that God delights in, verse 5. "The holy," I love this, "the holy women of old were beautiful before God that way, and were good, loyal wives to their husbands." Notice that first part. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way. He says, ladies, especially wives, my plan for you is to captivate your husband. Now, I think every lady in here would say, I want that. I want my husband to be captivated by me. And I think every husband, on your part, you should be captivated by your wife and tell her how amazing she is. But with this, somebody says, the phone's ringing. Don't worry about that. It doesn't bother me if the phone rings. Don't let it bother you. Just pick it up and ask them, why in the world aren't you at Word of Life? This is awesome. You got to get here. Come to the 11:30 service. So with this, he says, ladies, my goal for you is for you to captivate your husband. I want your husband to be captivated by you. And every lady wants that. And so what do most ladies do? They go to work on the outward appearance to try to captivate the attention of others. And so Peter recognizes this. He says, your life, it's got to be more than just natural things. And he lists three things that once again proves how relevant the Bible is, because these three things play a major role in our society today. The first thing he lists is jewelry. Now, let me ask you this, ladies. How many of you have ever met a woman who just got engaged? What was the first thing you wanted to see? Be honest. Come on now. What did you want to see? You wanted to see the ring. You meet a lady. You're looking at the jewelry. You're looking at those types of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Husbands, you ought to help her enjoy some jewelry. Come on now. I'm trying to help the ladies too. So nothing wrong with that. Then he says, the cut of your hair. Now, how many of you, my wife just got her hair cut, and it's beautiful. I really like it that way. And how many of you, though, as ladies, have ever paid attention to your hair or the hair of someone else? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with doing your hair nice where you look presentable. Or how many of you ladies have ever paid attention to the cut of someone's clothes, to the styling of someone's clothes, whether it's a friend who walks up or a coworker, or you go to work where they make you wear ugly uniforms, or you think about all the television shows, all the magazines that are driven and based off of style and fashion. Nothing wrong with that. Peter's not saying there's anything wrong with that. But he is saying this, that your life's got to be more than that. As a lady, as a wife, your life has got to be more than the jewelry you put on. And your life has got to be more than the styling of your hair. And your life, it's got to be more than a new outfit. And it's got to be more than a handbag. Your life, there's nothing wrong with any of that, but your life, it's got to be more than that, and not just for you. He says your husband needs your life to be more than that. Your family needs your life to be more than just these natural things. And he says, just as you go to work on your hair, just as you have to put on your jewelry, just as clothes don't magically appear on you, you have to put those things on. If you really want to get dolled up in outer beauty, you have to do some things and put some things on. He says, just as you have to, on purpose, go to work on outward beauty. He says, would you please, not just for you, but for the good of your family, for the good of your husband. Even a husband who is completely unresponsive to any words about God, would you please, for his good, go to work spiritually on purpose? Would you on purpose today put on peace? Would you on purpose today put on patience? Would you on purpose today pray? Would you on purpose today worship? And he says, when you do that, the influence you receive from me is going to be carried over to your family. And while with physical beauty you can impress someone, with your physical beauty you could walk in a room and impress other ladies. Or with your physical beauty you could walk out of the closet and impress your husband. He says, but with spiritual beauty, you do more than just impress, you make an impression. And there's something that sinks down into the hearts of that husband and the hearts of those kids, and they're captivated by it. And it draws them into a deeper level of commitment. It's when you walk out with no makeup on, your hair pulled up in a bow, and your husband's old sweatshirt and your pair of flannel pants that you've had since college. But you walk out with a grace upon you. And you walk out with that grace on you, and it goes to work. And without you having to say anything, and without you having to do anything, they feel it. They sense it. And it's when you don't feel pretty at all. You just got back from the gym. You've got a hat on, and you're in the car, and you're picking up kids from school. And they get in that car, and they open up the door, and they hear praise and worship music. And you didn't preach a message, and you didn't pull out your Bible and go over some verse. But there was a grace that you were carrying on you that day that made an impression in the heart of that girl. And that little girl one day is going to grow up to be a big girl. And when she does grow up to be a big girl, there's going to be something she doesn't get involved in that other big girls do because of the impression you made on her heart. There's a little boy in that back seat, and there's a little boy that walks in that kitchen. There's a little boy who eats at that kitchen table. There's going to be something that he doesn't do later in life that other little boys got into because of an impression that was made upon his heart. And there's going to be a husband sitting at that table who one day is going to need a strong wife and is going to need some support. He's going to need some guidance. He's going to need some direction. And when he needs it, he finds it because not only did you impress him with the way that you looked and the makeup you put on, but you impressed him with the grace you carried to him that morning. And he goes to work that day and makes a wise, smart, strong decision because he's got support at home. Because a wife not only cared about the way that she looked, but she cared about the way she looked before God. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, women are powerful. I went for a walk on Tuesday. And with my walks, we've been doing a lot of family walks where we'll put our newborn baby, Ben, into a little stroller and we'll get the other kids and they'll go to walk with me and my wife. And it's bothersome to me because the kids, they always ditch us for the cul-de-sac kids. There's kids that live in the cul-de-sac who are always out there playing. They always ditch us for the kids. So it's like, I thought this was a family walk. You said you wanted to go walk. And what it really meant was, can you take me to go play? So anyway. So on this particular Tuesday, the kids came, can we go? I said, no, not today, because one, I know you'll ditch me. But two, you just took a shower and you don't need to get sweaty and all that before we go to bed. So anyway, I'm out for a walk and I'm meditating on this scripture. Live a life that is beautiful before God. And while I'm meditating on it and while I'm thinking on it, I started thinking about why did God make woman out of a rib? And that is why the message title is what it is. I want my baby back. Because every husband by the end of this message is going to say, I want my baby back being my rib. I want my baby come back and be my rib, be. And when you hear the song, I Want My Baby Back, you'll think. And your mind will be connected by the mental anchor of the message. You'll think, I need to do that. So I was thinking about why did God make woman out of a rib? It's a good question. See, every other male-female combo that was a land-based animal, he made from the dirt of the ground. And when he made man, Adam, he made him from the dirt of the ground. Why didn't he make Eve from the dirt of the ground too? Why a rib? And then even with that, why did he pick a rib and not pick a finger? Or a leg? Or a toe? No one would miss a toe. Unless you've lost a toe, in which case I'm sorry. But with that, why did he pick a rib? Out of all the things he could have picked, why did he pick a rib? So Wednesday night I preached, and after preaching, you sometimes have what I call like a preacher's high. Your adrenaline's going, you know, the anointing, or don't mean to be super spiritual, but you can still kind of feel it. So you don't want to go to sleep. You're still awake and vibrant and full of life. And so I stayed up that night and just was studying and praying, and I started looking at what ribs are for, our human ribs, what they are for, why God gave us ribs. And your ribs do a lot of things for you. They provide support for your body where you don't slump over and all of those kinds of things. But one of the main things a rib does is it protects your most vital organs. Is a rib, and you know where your ribs would rather be broken than to have any damage come to those organs, most notably the heart. The ribs help protect it. In order to get to that heart, you better come through me first. And if you want to mess with that, you're going to have to mess with me first. See, God looked down and saw man and said, "This is not good. This is not good. He is alone." I'd like to think man picked up a pair of dirty underwear that he knew was dirty, sniffed it, knew it was dirty, turned it inside out, wore it two more days, and God said, "This is not good. This is not good. This man needs some help. He needs some help. And so he turned to himself and said, we need to give him some help. And what he gave him was a woman. He said, I'm going to make a woman who will be a help meet for you. Now, what that word help means is not what people think it means. They think God made a woman to just kind of serve the man, that kind of deal. That's not what that means. That word help, all throughout the Old Testament, is used in military terms. A king is in a battle, and he says, I need help. And the other king says, I will come and help you. And what that means is I'm bringing the big guns. I'm giving you powerful aid and support. I'm bringing my chariots. I'm bringing my men. I'm bringing my swords. We are going to help you fight this battle. That's what that word help means. It's not some kind of weak little help. It's powerful aid. It's powerful support. He says, that's what Adam needs. Well, what for? What for? Adam was made from the dirt of the ground. If you've never read the book Wild at Heart, I highly recommend it. It's out there in the bookstore. But what it talks about is how dirt is rugged. Dirt is tough. You can take a structure and build it off of dirt. It's a strong, sturdy foundation. It's made to be gruff and tough. And that's how God made man. He made us to be strong. And you should be strong. And we should teach our kids to be strong. Strong physically. Strong mentally. That we're not whiners and complainers. We're strong. We're strong. That's why God made us from the dirt. We're strong that way. And you ought to be all the man God's called you to be. Be a strong man. But there's one place, one area where we're not to be tough. There's one part of you where you're not supposed to be rugged. It's your heart. God says, I want that tender. I want that tender. So he made a woman. I'm making you from the rib. Because you got to keep that man's heart tender. And you got to watch your influence. And who's influencing you? Because whether you know it or not, you have his ear. And the way you live your life before me and others, you're going to take that influence and you're going to bring it back to him. And that is why you see the devil go to work like he went to work in Genesis chapter 3. Let's read it. Let's start on Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis 2, verse 21. And it said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called, whoa, man, I'm glad I'm married, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Isn't that interesting? Notice whose role it is in the marriage to cleave. So shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. It's not just the wife who should be cleaving to the husband. In fact, it's God's design for the husband to be cleaving to the wife, meaning the husband is actively pursuing drawing near to her. It's interesting how a lot of times that's backwards. Verse 25, and they both were naked, and man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now notice this. In chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they were knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Very interesting. God designed woman out of the rib. I believe one of the key reasons is to be a protector of his heart. A woman has incredible power to influence. And we not only know this from our world, but also from Scripture, that women can actually lead men into things and lead men out of things. I love what one person said. The husband may be the head of the home, but the wife surely is the neck, and she can turn that head wherever she wants. There's a lot of truth to that. And we see in Scripture that there are women who were incredibly beautiful from Scripture, we see, naturally, but were incredibly ugly spiritually. And they came in the lives of women, and you don't, if you want to know about, read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7 is a story about this. That a woman took the heart of a man and led him down a wrong path. Now, men have a role to play in this too. Men, the only thing you do with a woman like that is run. There's only one thing to do in that case. Run. Pull a Joseph and get out of there. Run. But ladies, he was also saying that you have the power to influence people. And he said that this particular lady, her pathway led to the gates of hell. It influenced this man's heart down a wrong path. A woman like that would be like Delilah with Samson. But there are other women who we see were not only physically beautiful, but spiritually beautiful as well. And at their finest moments, we see them not only living successful lives, but also coming in and changing the hearts of men, influencing them towards the things of God. Example, Esther. Esther came in at a time when a king's heart needed turning. And when God saw a king's heart needed turning, he didn't send in another man. He didn't give man a best friend. He didn't send man a military advisor. He sent a woman. He raised up Esther and said, "You're called into the kingdom for such a time as this." And she walks into that king's court and she influences this king's heart for good. We see an example of this in Abigail. David's got some issues. His main issue is with Saul, his mentor. His mentor's trying to kill him. That's a bad day. And he has all the qualms in the world about touching God's anointed, but he's still angry about it. And he walks up protecting this man's field named Nabal, asks Nabal for some food to provide for his troops who are protecting this man's field. And this man Nabal will have none of it. Well, David has many qualms about killing Saul, but he has no qualms in this moment of killing Nabal. So he wounds up his mighty men of valor, 400 of them, gives them swords, and they are going to just tear up this man's property and take Nabal's life. He's angry. He's about to make a decision that could take his life off course. He's about to make a decision that could hurt his calling and take him away from the things of God. So what does God send? A woman named Abigail. And this woman, Abigail, starts talking to him. And while she's talking, she's diffusing the situation. And you know what she says? She says, "David, don't do this." She says, "When you do it, it'll be an offense to your heart." What is she doing? Being that rib. You got to protect your heart, David. And she gets David's ear and changes the course of his life. Now, I think every lady in here, every married lady specifically, you say, "I want to do that. I want to do that for my husband. I want to do that for my kids." Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a pastor, and he said, "Tell the younger women to marry, have kids, and tell them to guide their house." Well, the men's the head of the home. They are, don't get me wrong. There's a spiritual level of authority. But a woman comes in, and she guides the house. Read it. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, I think. And he tells her, guide the house. Tell the women to guide their house. Well, why? Because you are. There's influence there that is coming from you that is influencing the life of that man and influencing the life of those kids. And I want to encourage you here. You don't have to be, because there's all kind of pressure on ladies. Be this, be this, be this. What God is saying is, just as you would on purpose do your hair, just as you would on purpose put on jewelry, just as you would on purpose get dressed, on purpose be with me, on purpose spend time in prayer, on purpose spend time on praise and worship. No one else is going to do it for you. on purpose. You do it for yourself. Because what do we see in the story with Eve? Eve didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, today I'm going to ruin my family. Today I'm going to ruin everything for everybody who's ever born after me. She didn't wake up and say that. You know what she did? She woke up one day, went out to the garden. The garden is not an incredibly busy place. You've got God and Adam to talk to. And she is walking, and a serpent starts talking to her. That's interesting. A serpent is talking. So she starts talking to him, and she starts hanging around them. It's one thing to be around something. It's a whole other thing to hang around something. And what does the serpent do? He starts influencing. And his influence is wearing off on Eve, and she leaves the serpent's presence and takes the influence she received from him and brings that influence where? She brings it home with her. And she brings it back to Adam, and not only affects her life, but affects his life and her kids who come after her. Why? Just wrong influence. She didn't wake up and say, you know what, today I'm going to be a bad lady. She just got around a bad influence. And maybe some of you in here say, I wish you'd give an example. Give me an example of a bad influence. I don't have to. I guarantee you, if there's a bad influence in your life right now, the Holy Spirit's probably pricking your heart and telling you that person, that thing, that magazine, it's influencing your heart. It's influencing you. It's affecting you. Get away from it, because you're taking that influence to your husband, and it's your job to protect his heart. It's your job to make sure that heart is strong and sure and steady, and nothing's going to affect his commitment to God. It's your job to be that rib. And then also be around good influences. Obviously, the Lord. But maybe there are some of you in here that you say, you know what? I have been intimidated to approach that mother, intimidated to approach that mother-in-law, intimidated to approach those groups of friends, because I know that they are probably a higher level of in spiritual things than I am. And because of that, the enemies use that fear to stop you from drawing near. I'll put it to you this way. Be around ladies who care more about spiritual beauty than they care about natural beauty. Nothing wrong with natural beauty. Nothing wrong with it. But if you get around people who that's all they think about, that's all they'll be strong in. They'll be strong in makeup tips, and they'll be strong in hair tips, and they'll be strong in styling tips. But when it comes down to how to treat your husband, they don't need to be speaking into your life. Because they've taken time with this, but had they taken any time with that? You need to be around other ladies who can strengthen you that way. Well, somebody said, who? If there is someone, once again, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit's telling you right now. In your heart, He's prompting you. Go talk to them. Go be around them. Do it. Because it has everything with you fulfilling your potential, but it also has everything to do with your kids and your husband fulfilling theirs as well. Oh, amen. One big point. Live a life that is beautiful before God. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today. And Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for you. And we thank you, Father, for everyone here, especially the ladies. Bless them, Lord, today. Give them grace. Father, we thank you that they live a life that is beautiful before your eyes. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that for each and every one of these couples, for each and every one of these people who are here, who are joined together, that, Lord, you draw them closer to each other, and you draw them closer to you, and you draw them closer to your plan and your will than ever before. Bless these people, Lord. Let them fulfill the number of their days, and let them walk out the will you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.